You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3.
Powered by Scarborough Nissan. Driving satisfaction. The Nissan Clearout Sales Event is on. Lease the new 2020 Nissan Rogue Special Edition from $327 a month for 60 months. Scarborough Nissan. Eglinton Avenue East at Warden.
Final hour, Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app and now up on TSN 2. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan. Little Jerry's After Dark later in the hour. We've got a big ball game tonight because as of now, we do not have a big ball game happening in Atlanta. The Braves are losing 11-0 in the top of the third inning.
Dude, that sucks so bad, man. You're so excited to play, and then that happens, and it's game over before you even get up to bat.
I never think of the players in an instance like this. I always think of the fan.
Yeah, think of the fan who wants to go home and just rushing home from work to say, I got to watch this game.
The worst.
You get in on your couch and crack open a cold one, 11-0.
How about the fan who took a day off work today?
I know.
And said, you know what?
And pre-gamed at a pub.
I'm pumping 1,200 into a pair of tickets. Like, I'm doing it.
Yeah,
I'm going down to the game. And let's say this guy was late and he got in there with one out in the top of the first inning, saying, oh, it's all good. I'll just
9-0.
It's already 9-0. That's got to be the worst fan experience in history.
Do you just turn around or do you ride it out?
You have to ride it out. You've made the commitment. You paid. You took time off.
That's tough.
It depends on how much money you got. I think if you're a big shooter, you might just, for the story alone, say, yeah, I'm out of here to tell the boys that I turned right around and left. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
In L.A., you could see that. Like, Larry King shows up and it's 9-0. Larry's not sticking around.
Check, please. He's out.
Mary Hart's leaving.
Yeah.
But
there'll be
Joe
some grit
Blow?
Grinder. Yeah, there'll be some grit grinders that hang around, for sure.
That is sickening. Well, it actually begs the question, would you prefer to get blown out that early before your team has even had an at-bat or lose in, like, crushing Buckner fashion late in the game?
Oh, no. Yeah, I think blowout, you just go right to the bar. You saddle up and you're done.
Put your jeans on right away on the dugout.
Exactly.
Yeah, you'd probably
like come out
the
for the fourth inning with your bar gear on.
Yeah, exactly.
And just get totaled.
There's players with their suits on in the dugout right now, waiting for the plane.
Eddie Belfour gear,
exactly.
Just ready to rock.
Leather coat.
Well, these guys, you know how it is in baseball. They're in Vegas tomorrow. They could be in Vegas tonight.
Tonight.
There's not no season-ending meetings
end
tomorrow.
It is. These guys are on private birds tonight, probably to Vegas.
Maybe Miami, quick flight.
Yeah, that's true. Right down to Miami.
Well, that is where you got to be careful because, again, if someone starts hacking your account and they find out that you were on, like, Trivago before the game, booking rooms in Vegas just in case you lost.
Expedia.
Expedia.
It's all good.
It's like, hey, what happened there? Why were you preparing to lose? And then, sure enough, you guys got smoked. So Edmonton's off to a pretty good start.
Yep.
The Oilers are 3-0. James Neal, maybe the best handle in the league, the real deal James Neal.
Yeah.
4 goals last night. And it's our understanding because he scored 4 last night, he didn't have to practice today.
In New York.
In New York.
Wow.
Let's head down to New York now and catch up with James Neal. Can you confirm or deny that you did not have to practice today?
Hey, guys. No, I did not have to practice today.
Does that mean you floored it last night or no?
Oh, you sound like call me right now. Nope, keeping it on the even keel right now, O-Dog.
That's a shame. That is truly a shame.
Yeah, I mean,
you got a green light special in Manhattan. You take advantage of that nonsense.
Were you hoping for a bag skate today or what?
No, I wasn't hoping for a bag skate. It was all good. I didn't even watch practice. I just got a little workout in. Get ready for tomorrow.
So you keep hearing, your off season. We all know you work really hard with Gary Roberts and his crew. You do anything different this summer to get yourself ready for the season?
No, I didn't. I didn't do anything different. I just had a summer. Really, I think, obviously going back to back Stanley Cup finals doesn't give you much time to train, and then. So this summer, obviously, after the way things went, and I got back in the gym and had a good summer and got to rest the body and get back to where I wanted to be. So nothing really changed. So Rob has been great for me. Trained with Gary since I was 14 years old. So he's like a father to me, and he takes good care of me.
You've got six so far, and everyone's going to say, or the question is, what is the difference? It's very early. The season is very young, but I mean, when you went to Calgary, was it a lack of opportunity? Was it on you? I mean, what do you think happened where you've had this early quick start with Edmonton?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a combination of all those things. Obviously, you know, you sign a five-year deal. You know, it's a big commitment they're giving to me, and I'm going in there. I thought I was expecting to go, you know, play in a top line and be accounted for as a big piece of that team. And you know, you come out in the first game and you're playing on a fourth line. It's kind of not where you want to be, and you know, that's the way things kind of rolled out from the start. So it was tough. You know, obviously, you're probably not in the best of mindset when you're not playing the role that you think you should be playing in, and things kind of just snowballed on from there. So it was a tough situation. It was a tough year, but you know, I was glad things got done. There's a trade in place, and now I'm set in a great situation. Couldn't be happier.
With James Neal of the Edmonton Oilers, he scored 4 goals last night. He's got 6 goals on the season. The Oilers are 3-0. I always laugh when Yahoo's like me and guys like us start talking about who's going to play with McDavid, and then we wonder, can that guy keep up with McDavid? As if anyone in the league can keep up with McDavid. Obviously, you're not thinking I'm going to burn up the ice with this guy. So, what's it like playing with him? And does it make it easier knowing, you know, if I get to the right place, he's probably going to find me?
Yeah, I was watching. I was listening to you guys before the. I think it was before the game. O-Dog gave me like 4 minutes with McDavid or something, or like 3 shifts. He said, and then we'd be split up.
But, I never. What are you talking about? Like, 3
he's
shifts.
Like, he's like, I think Draisaitl will be back there in 3 shifts. I'm like, oh, thanks, O-Dog. Good to know.
Well, he was. What was it? 10 shifts.
You were right. You were right.
So be quiet.
Yeah, I know. No, it's fun. I've known Connor for a long time. I trained with him for a long time, and we trained a lot together this summer and skated together. So, you know, obviously he's, you know, unbelievable player. But I think, you know, you're not gonna burn up the ice with him, that's for sure. He's so fast, but it's just being able to get in open spots and get him the puck with speed. And, you know, that's why him and Drad are so good together. Draisaitl's so good at slowing the play down and hitting Connor with speed all over the ice, and they're so smart together. So they're fun to watch, and you know, you learn from them. They're so good, and they do so many good things out there. It's nice to see.
I think you got a little bit of a history with Dave Tippett as well. Has that been a nice transition, Jimmy Playfair going in there? I mean, it's a lot different look in Edmonton. I know there's some new personnel and it's a new organization for you, but it seems like there's a lot different attitude around that organization right now.
Yeah, it's been great right from the get go. It's you know, real positive around here. Everyone's enjoying it and having fun with the change. And obviously, I had Tip in Dallas, so I know him very well, and he gave me a great chance to come in the NHL. So, kind of come full circle here with him now. And you know, he's a great communicator. He's a great coach, and you know, it's pretty easy to play for. So he's put in a great system so far, and guys are buying in, and guys want to play for him. So yeah, it's been fun. You know, we're kind of obviously the underdogs around here. I don't think very many people thought we'd be off to this kind of start. So we got a lot of guys on the team that have something to prove, and we got a lot of guys that want to win and get in the playoffs. So it's been a good mix so far, and we're enjoying it.
With James Neal, we had J.P. Arencibia on in the 4 p.m. hour, and I guess...
You mean his brother?
Yeah, I guess he's your hype man. He's your PR guy. Here's what J.P. had to say earlier this afternoon.
But he's worked as hard as anybody this offseason to be where he's at, so I'm fired up for him. So
4 goals for you last night.
He had a big night last night.
Yeah.
Well, I'm telling you, this dude's going to have a huge year. I've been around him in the offseason. He's been working his tail off. He's got some big things coming. So.
All right.
Was he talking about you?
Wow, JP, what a guy, huh? Yeah, I spent some time with him in the summer. He's a great dude. So. He came in the gym with me a few times and worked out. He doesn't like leg days though. He's more of an upper body guy, but we had some fun. So I was getting some texts earlier, like, exactly that, is JP your hype man? So I was laughing. So that's a nice one.
Yeah, he was pumping your tires. Was he with Gary Roberts, or was that like down in Florida or something?
Rob's gym. Yeah. Well, he knows like Stamkos and a few guys from Tampa, being down and playing in Tampa. So He's a big hockey fan. He's just a great dude. We have a lot of fun together.
Well, you're off to an incredible start. Your team is off to a great start as well. So we wish you nothing but success, obviously, in the future. And we really appreciate you finding some time for us this afternoon.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Chat soon.
You got it. There's James Neal of the Edmonton Oilers.
I love how he knew that you said that he would last three shifts.
I don't know.
Sometimes people listen to
probably
the show.
Probably the preview show. I don't know.
It was the preview show.
Yeah.
I think you and I were talking about it.
Well, sorry, he lasted 10 shifts, so
it was the second game. Draisaitl was back on his left side.
Exactly.
McDavid. But
fine, though.
Neil's out there on the first PP scoring goals. He had four last night.
It's all about situational and making it happen. And you know what? If you watch last night's game, the fourth goal he scores from the corner. And it's just one of those things when you're having a night.
Oh, he was feeling it.
You just, you throw everything at the net and it makes it work. Like, he's got a fantastic release. Always has. And this surprises goaltenders. Like Greiss came in. He didn't start the game. Varlamov started the game.
Barry Trotz had some Scrabble face going last night.
He had had enough. After the fourth goal, they were down 4-1, I think. And
he was not happy.
They flashed Barry on the bench.
Yeah. The Islanders caught lightning in a bottle last year. They're going to have to prove themselves again.
Yeah, I still think they'll be fine. Did you have them in the playoffs?
I did not. No,
I did, but I
that Varlamov.
Yeah, I mean, him better than Leonard.
Whether you like Leonard or not, he was out of his mind last year.
He was, but so was Greiss. Greiss played half the games as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing that still just perplexes me. Leonard's up for the Vezina. Greiss plays almost as much as him.
Leonard's story.
Fantastic guy, fantastic story.
That factor
for sure.
Like redemption.
It is a redemption
issues.
Story, and I hope Robin lights the world on fire in Chicago. Like the story is fantastic, but I thought the Varlamov signing was a good signing by the Islanders of a guy who could be a reclamation project. He's got all the skill. He's just got to put it together. And the Islanders have the best goalie coach in the league. In Mitch Korn. So, he's the Yoda of goaltending coaches.
Well, there you go.
So he's got to get them going, though.
Yeah. That division will be, Carolina's red hot. I think we all expect Tampa will get, or Washington will get there.
But you called Pitt taking a step back. Now they're in, with the injuries.
I wasn't predicting the injuries, but the injuries really make it thin. Like, Winnipeg went in there and just smacked them around.
Yeah.
And
well, we'll see if Sid can keep them afloat, but it's
asking a lot out of one guy, man.
Yeah.
Like, it's a Mike Trout situation.
But the goalie's got to do something there, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They've got some players there, but it's about playing together and seeing. You want to talk about Scrabble face. Sullivan had the furnace face going on the bench the other night.
Well, he knows.
He looked pissed.
It's tough, man. When you went back-to-back Stanley Cups.
Like a tire fire, and you got Sidney Crosby on your team. You can never quite say, maybe this isn't our year, because you've got Sidney Crosby going out there every shift.
Oh, you're fighting for it every single year.
There always seems to be one team where it's just not their year, where injuries, inconsistencies.
Well,
last year was Anaheim.
Yeah, keep in mind, Pittsburgh starts off like garbage almost yearly.
Yeah, they do.
And we
Jimmy
write them
even
off.
Told us on the radio, he's like, first 6 weeks were basically invisible anyway. So, but they might be... They might be in tough for real.
But that's where they may have the narrative, not the St. Louis narrative, but something like that. Hey, look, that's the thing. Hey, look at what happened last year. But you can't bank on
that. No, and listen, you can't doubt a team that's been to the playoffs 12 years in a row or whatever it is. Yeah. I mean, they get there every single year.
You got to give them a longer
I'm
lease
saying
right
if they
now.
Miss, they miss with like 91 points.
Right.
And just, I'm not suggesting they're going to be a tire fire and top five pick in the league.
No.
But I just feel like Carolina is a good team. Yeah. And I think I had Philly in, and I still got to wait to see more from them. Although I think they play tonight coming back from Europe.
Yes.
That's a quick turnaround. Although I guess they started.
It was on the weekend.
Yeah, it was on the weekend.
Yeah, so this is their second game.
No, I understand that. But like usually I figured these guys, like Chicago and Philly, would come back and get a week off.
Yeah.
Like if we're sending you to Europe, you come back.
I think the game was on Friday, though.
Yeah, it was. It was during the day on Friday.
It's the following Wednesday. So
5 days later.
Here's the other thing that we haven't paid attention to is Detroit is 2-1. And you see your buddy Mantha scored four. That was the quietest four you've seen in a while.
That's a good point.
Hell of a game.
Yeah, he did have four.
Four in a game.
Four is four.
Four is four.
Yeah. Four is four.
Different context is that was Matthew's first game, but four is four. Neil, trending, you know.
Yeah, they got that Athanasiou back in the lineup. It's like they got some good forwards, man. That top line.
Put it together. That's
the
thing.
The decor and the goaltending scares the hell out of me.
Not going to happen.
Two lines that can play.
Not going to happen. Like, good for them out of the gate.
You hate Detroit.
I just don't think they're good enough.
I think they can prove you wrong. They could be sniffing around a playoff spot.
Sniffing would be, yeah, I think it'll be a
deep
stretch, but
gold dust.
You think? I don't know. That's a bit rich.
Sniffing around. Sniffing around a wild card.
Just hanging around.
That's a goal.
Sniffing.
Imagine that's your goal. That's on the t-shirt. Let's sniff around a wild card spot.
Just let's
Some teams, that's what they're what they need to do this year.
That's the best case scenario. That's but it's not going to happen in Detroit. I think the team they lost to last night
just
probably
put a giant
feels like
bird
maybe
with
we
a
can
big
do that.
Beak and just let's sniff. That's our team motto.
Yeah.
See, Anaheim can't say, right?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, Dallas Aiken. But I still believe one of these teams with a new coach is going to have that new coach bump.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if it's Edmonton. I don't know if it's Anaheim. I don't know if it's Philly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Tippett or Dallas Eakins, you know, is winning coach of the year.
Something.
Well, Q, Florida's in there.
Like I say, we're three games in. Let's just pump the brakes here until tomorrow for the Gary Thorne.
Yeah, What did the grappler call it? What's your big grand idea here?
No, it was a pitch. He came in and tried to pitch
What
us.
Did I say? How thorny is he? Something like that?
Okay, we'll work on that. But yeah,
How thorny are they?
Okay, there might be something there. Very
thin.
Thorny. Jerry's After Dark later in the hour.
Yeah.
Why don't we do that? Jerry's Thorny. Really thorny. That's what we'll call it.
All right. Darren Dreger, Hockey Insider. The Braves are losing 12-0. Bases loaded, top of the third. They're down 12-0. The bases are loaded, top of the third. St. Louis is going to beat them by 20.
Good.
Yeah.
Weren't ready to play.
But I feel for our boy, Anthopoulos, and the bringer
Josh
of rain.
Josh Donaldson, yeah.
Like, the bringer of rain, how many more chances is he going to get? Like, if he re-signs in Atlanta, but, man, you got to go through the whole grind again.
I say 100% he signs a two-year extension.
Back in Atlanta?
Yeah.
He should.
Well, he's done a great job.
Yeah, he's been spectacular. He used a couple of big hits from him, though. Like, this series, he has done nothing.
Well, I don't think it matters now.
No. You got to feel good. Imagine you're a Cardinal player right now. You are on cloud nine. Your team, if you're in the bullpen and you're up 12-0.
You have Crown and Cokes in a cup.
Yeah. You're thinking, where are we going next? Because they don't know. It could be L.A.
But when does that start?
It'll start probably on the weekend, I would guess. Although if the games are tonight, maybe Friday.
You think it'd be that quick?
Well, they're both determined this afternoon or tonight.
No, you got to give it then. You got to give a few days.
I would.
Travel days and stuff.
So maybe Saturday.
That's what I was thinking, Saturday or Sunday.
Yeah, but it could be at home.
Tonight is green light special.
Yeah, oh yeah. Oh, tonight, like they're popping champagne in 2 hours.
Yeah.
Right? Like if they win the NLDS.
Trainers have already got the goggles out and everything.
That's
right?
A dangerous move, though. You talk about sports karma.
Where the hats have already been framed in.
They had that dressing room all jacked up with all of the plastic all around, the champagne.
Yeah.
No way.
And Bob Costas, they had a documentary. He was like, he was about to wheel in the locker room, and they were just wheeling that stuff out and ripping the plastic down.
Mm-hmm.
It was nuts.
That's a premature celebration.
Yeah.
That is where you think you've got it, and then
they're in the top of the ninth.
Old one in a million.
Buckner.
There's got to be some other premature, and I'm not going to bring it back to the 4-1 here in Toronto. Outside of that one, there's got to be some other premature celebrations.
Oh, there'd be a lot of them.
Where either the hats have been printed or...
Well, Bartman, like the Cubs thought they were through.
Yeah,
Bartman. They thought they were through. They were like, we're up. It was the eighth inning, I believe.
We should do like a top five premature celebrations, like things went south in a hurry.
Right.
Outside of the...
Don't worry, SportsCenter will be doing... They'll be doing it tonight.
Yeah, let them do the work, and we'll jack it tomorrow. Yeah,
okay, we'll just list the people they named.
Jerry's After Dark, later in the hour. Darren
one
Dreger.
More.
Thorny take.
Wrong word. Take away the T.
Horny take. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050. All right, Jerry's After Dark, later this hour. It is 13-0, St. Louis over Atlanta. Bottom of the third. That's ugly, man. That is ugly.
Do you remember any sport, but I mean, it'd probably be hockey, where you were just at any level just getting rinsed? Game that like sticks out where you're like, we lost 13-1 one night?
Not really.
When I played for the Leafs, I think we beat Boston 10-0.
That's got to feel good.
I don't know. That might be it. It was stupid, though. I think it was a 10 spot.
You better have points in that game. You walk away without points in a 10-0 game, you're rattled.
Yeah,
you won the game, and you're rattled.
You know some idiot's going to text and say, my stat line was 0-0-0-0.
Well, look that up, Grapples. All right, we got Dregs on the line.
Ken Cobb. I bet you he lost some games like that in Saskatchewan.
How about that, Dregs? You ever get smoked in any games out in...
In House League?
Yeah, thanks, O. At least you were in a minus in that 10-0 game, right?
I don't know. It might have been 10-1, and I might have chomped on one, yeah. Dregs.
I will tell you this. We played in separate provinces, but Landsberg, Saskatchewan is right on the Manitoba border, just inside. Theron Fleury played for Russell, Manitoba, which is just on the other side. So we'd meet on occasion in tournaments and whatnot. There might have been a couple of lopsided games with Fleury all over the game sheet.
Yeah, if you run into like a really spectacular player.
Yeah, like a superstar back then that just skated through everyone, they'd get 10 points.
Yeah. I had Jeff Odgers on my he was a left wing, I was a right wing. Eddie Zawadzki was a centerman.
Wow. Yeah. Odgers, I played with him. That's as tough a man as you've ever seen.
Yeah, but you know what, Noodles? And you know, he's a farm boy, right? He's back on the farm now in Spyle, Saskatchewan. But and this isn't an unusual story, but he never played that way all the way up, right? Like he was always a so-so skater. He kind of had a good shot, but nothing great. And then when he went to midget hockey, I think he got the tar kicked out of him in one game and then realized, okay, wait a second, I didn't like that. And, you know, then he developed that side of his game, but all the way through junior hockey in Brandon, and obviously battled his way through the pros, and he became one of the game's toughest for sure.
I love hearing those stories, guys who develop fighting.
Yeah, they just
abilities.
Were, but they were
not
probably,
fighters by nature, but
they
work
were farm,
on your fight.
Farm strength. Like they were farm tough.
Yeah.
Like Jeff Odgers and Rudy Poshchek, I will never forget, fought right in front of me in St. Louis, and it was a punch in the face contest. And both of them have leather faces. It was two catcher's mitts.
Well, how about
punched.
Who does player safety and, now?
Yeah, Paros.
George Paros went to like Yale or something.
Yeah,
Princeton.
No, Princeton.
Yeah. He's
how many goons come out of Princeton?
Well, Kevin Westgarth is the same way.
We just mentioned the bomber in the past hour. Ken Baumgartner was like a smart guy.
Lawyer. He's very, sure. very
Stu
bright.
Grimson.
Stu Grimson's
Stu Grimson.
A lawyer.
Yeah.
Now Jeff Odgers can grab the tip of his nose, and he can literally pull it both sides. I shouldn't admit this because he's a scary looking dude.
Yes.
And my lovely wife Holly is not. Which is good, but they're second cousins, so there's a family relationship.
Wow.
It goes back to Saskatchewan. He can literally take the tip of his nose and touch each side of his face, left or right.
Wow.
That means it has been hit with knuckles thousands of times.
He's just bad.
He's a very good man. Very,
great
very
guy.
Good man.
Great
yeah.
guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can't make it as a fighter anymore.
No.
Like, it just doesn't exist anymore, and you can't do it.
Odgers went from, you're right, and even in Brandon, he wasn't the superstar player. At one point, he was the captain of the San Jose Sharks.
Yeah.
A captain of an NHL team for a guy that, in junior, I don't think people projected him to be an NHL player.
No. Well, but he walked on, I think, with Kalamazoo Noodles back in the day.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure, but I think he fought Basil McRae about six times in the first 3 days of that training camp, if you can imagine.
Wow.
And Basil went to San Jose management and said, you don't know who this dude is, but he's a gamer. There's got to be a place for him here somewhere within the organization. That never happens anymore.
No. Yeah, no kidding, right? Like, you go and vouch for a guy?
The closest would be maybe that Scott Sabourin in Ottawa.
Maybe,
You know, in modern day. It's a nice story. There's a guy who's grinded it out. And, you know, I'll have eyes on him tomorrow.
Fair. Sure.
I'm looking at Odger's Hockey DB page. So he played with the Brandon Wheat Kings.
Yeah, I played against him in Brandon.
In 86-87, I believe that was his rookie year. He was 17 years old. Do you want to take a guess at who led that team in penalty minutes and how many PIMs he had that year?
That year?
Kevin Cheveldayoff. Was Chevy?
Yeah. Kevin Cheveldayoff had 259 penalties.
Yeah, Chevy was a 16-year-old.
He was 16.
What? Yeah. He was the captain of the team at 16. Yeah.
Was Cam Brown on that team? Because he'd have been up there, too.
Yeah, Cam Brown, left-handed shot. Really tough.
Threw bombs, man.
Yeah.
I don't see him.
And I will tell you this. Like, Jeff might be the third or the fourth toughest Odgers in the family.
That's the best.
And that includes his sisters.
Don't say his cousins are your
No,
big
well,
trouble.
I'll tell you what. Exactly. Yeah, his younger brother, Scotty, was when the I don't know, UFC, it wasn't the UFC back then, but when that fighting, that cage fighting and whatnot was illegal, he was one of the bad dudes, man.
Wow.
He was so tough.
Wow. Well,
anyway, that's how I grew up, fellas.
Yeah. No kidding. WHL in the 80s. I didn't know Cheveldayoff was... He had no goals, 16 assists, 259 penalties.
And was the captain of the team and was the first rounder to the Islanders. Never played a game.
No, he wrecked his knee. I recall a game, and I can't remember. I want to say Lethbridge, maybe Medicine Hat. Chevy fought somebody. He was a wicked southpaw. Threw bombs, but directed, and essentially knocked this kid out, which was kind of sad, but literally skated by the bench and stood there. Yeah, I mean, you see the guys all the time that would skate by a bench and call this guy out or call that guy. He stood there, and nobody moved.
I've challenged him in, like, an interview before, but I hope I haven't.
He's such a mild-mannered guy.
He seems like such a laid-back guy when he comes out with us.
I think you guys know that story where he's got the the scar on his forehead from me.
Your fault.
Yeah.
His stick got caught, didn't he?
My stick got caught in the boards, and I just jammed him up behind the net, and he got hit head first into the boards by Max Mittendorf. You remember that guy?
Max Mittendorf.
Great handle, though. Smokes.
That guy was a killer in the minors, and Chevy, I could see his skull when he skated in front of the net.
Well, he was a leader way before his time. You identify he was a captain at a young age, but, I mean, back in that day, you could do just about anything off the ice, and even if you got caught, you were barely getting in trouble. He would go to team parties, of course, but he'd make sure everyone got home safely because he didn't drink.
Yeah.
So he'd make sure that he drove everybody home and everybody got home safely. And that was back in a day where it didn't always matter.
No kidding.
What do you think his team is going, his mindset is right now? Their big win last night.
Winnipeg needed that.
There were a few fun games to watch last night, weren't there? I mean, October hockey can get a little greasy and ugly. And there was some of that last night, but it was entertaining. And that Winnipeg game was one of those. It's come somewhat ironic. We talked about what the hell are the Jets going to do with that blue line going into that game, and then you've got a flurry of offense coming from that blue line. Hellebuyck needed to stand up Noodles. You did post-to-post on him yesterday, and, you know, that's the best game of the early part of the regular season for him by far. Yes. And I will tell you this, Paul Maurice, as everybody can appreciate and understand, I mean, he's not in it for friendships anymore. Like, if Hellebuyck hadn't been as good as he was last night, if they'd lost that game and, he didn't have his best, I bet you they go to Brossoit tomorrow.
Yeah.
In their home opener. But now there's no real reason to speculate on that because he played great. And the team responded. I mean, the big boys were firing with Liney. He looks more engaged. Scheifele had a good night. Wheeler had a good night. The D produced, and they outclassed the Pittsburgh Penguins, which, despite injuries, is saying a lot.
What do you expect tomorrow night? Leafs Lightning down in Scotiabank.
Yeah, that's going to be a tough one for the Leafs, I think. And, I mean, I'm stating the obvious because, even though the Tampa Bay Lightning haven't been very good with their start, Stamkos coming out the way he did on the weekend and then having to back it up and then just say, look, I'm not pointing the finger at the coach. I'm not... really identifying anything specifically other than what I see as our areas of concern. I mean, that's not out of character, because this guy is full of character. Who's not going to respond to that? I think that they're going to be engaged, and I'm not saying they're better than Toronto. I mean, we're going to find that out over the course of the regular season, but I think that could be a tough game just because of the emotion injected by the Lightning.
Well, and Stamkos loves playing in Toronto. Like, he
every game I've done on the panel, I'm breaking down a Stamkos goal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he does.
That seems like a lock. Yeah. He's scoring tomorrow night. But, hey, the Leafs.
It's going to be a good game.
Yeah.
It's good.
Both teams are highly talented. Both teams are explosive offensively. They got good goaltending.
Yeah. Well, it's funny how all of a sudden Tampa's the team that has to prove themselves. I would argue the Leafs have to prove themselves more than Tampa. I don't care what happened against Columbus.
Sure they
do. And you've got, you know, look, the Tavares line is probably already tired of the second guessing and some questioning that line. And it's fair to question that line. I mean, that's the market that they play in and all that. And they haven't been as productive 5-on-5 as, you know, they have been historically, and they need to be. But I don't know. I kind of feel like that group collectively is ready to do something special as well.
Should be a fun one tomorrow night. We'll do it again soon. Thank you, Dregs.
Okay, boys. Have a great night.
Darren Dreger, our TSN Hockey Insider. Really crazy story coming out of England. Instagram, Wags. It's got a Carlson Hoffman vibe to it.
Really?
Yeah, you're going to want to hear this. We'll get to that in Jerry's After Dark next.
Welcome to Jerry's After Dark, where all of your wildest hot takes come to life. Because Jerry's always in the mood for one more, and you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah, we do. We know exactly what you're talking about. One more horny hot take.
Steven Stamkos' speech to the team works, and they put a beating on the Maple Leafs and give up zero goals.
Don't see that happening.
I say 5%, keeping that team off the board.
Yeah, I don't. That would be a better stat to see how many times, if at all, the Leafs get shut out this year.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to happen once or twice. Goalie stands on his head, something like that. But I mean, Vasilevsky's capable, don't get me wrong,
right.
But I think the Leafs are rested, and that could
they're
be
at home.
I could see a 5-4 game.
Oh, I hope
like
so.
Like that, 6-5, like that, with the GOAT getting on the board.
I could see the GOAT getting a 3 tomorrow night.
The third?
I think he has 3 by November 1st.
We might have to have a GOAT tracker with an over-under.
That should be what's happening.
That's
here.
Hayes' casino.
Yeah. Let me.
So I'm going 3% that it's a shutout.
Okay.
0.
I'll say 4%. If you're at 3 and you're at 0, I'll say 4%. The Leafs aren't getting shut out. I think the Leafs, they're in just as good of a place to win the game tomorrow night. I would guess they'll be slight favorites at home.
Coin flip.
Yeah, it's pretty close to a coin flip. Absolutely. So we'll tee that up all day tomorrow, starting with first up at 6 a.m., Leafs lunch with Andy. Our main man, Matt Cause, will be on at 4. We'll get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Josh Donaldson hit a solo shot, which is almost a troll job. It's now 13-1 St. Louis.
Donaldson did his job.
Yeah, he showed up. Can't blame him.
That's what he'll be saying.
Oh, absolutely. If you asked him before the game, we'll give you a solo home run. Would you take it?
Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely.
You would. 4 or something, but the solo home run, for sure.
So last year, was it last year or 2 years ago? 2 years ago, the Erik Karlsson, Mike Hoffman, fiance story broke loose in Ottawa, where the Karlssons were accusing Hoffman's fiance of cyberbullying and. Yeah. That kind of disappeared, that whole story.
Yeah, it went away.
It went to the courts. Like, there was a judge involved based on a restraining order, online restraining order. That's not the right phrase, but anyway, it disappeared. There is a similar story happening right now. So
Wayne Rooney's wife?
Wayne Rooney and Jamie Vardy, two, like, national players for the English team. Wayne Rooney is an international superstar.
Yes.
Vardy was a stud on that Leicester City team that won it, and he's become a guy who plays on the national team. He was a part of the national team at the World Cup. So Colleen Rooney sent out an Instagram post earlier today, and doubled down on Twitter. And to put this into perspective, 50,000 retweets already, 255,000 likes. This is the wife of a soccer player who posted this story. And it is going crazy. I'll bet you over in Britain right now, they are all over this story.
Lay it on me. Let's hear this.
All right. So Colleen Rooney sent this out and said, for a few years now, someone who I trusted to follow me on my personal Instagram account has been consistently informing the Sun newspaper of my private posts and stories. So this is a private account, a locked private account.
Wow.
It's not like the whole world has access to it. And she went on to say, there has been so much information given to them about me, my friends, and my family, all without my permission or knowledge. And after a long time of trying to figure out who it could be, for various reasons, I had suspicion. So she set up an Instagram sting.
Wow.
Which is the most 2019 term of 2019. An Instagram sting, where she blocked everyone else from seeing her stories, which you can do. You can block people from seeing your stories, except for one person.
She caught her.
That's what she's claiming. Because she's claiming that for 5 months, she had been posting false stories about what her and Wayne Rooney and their family have been doing, including stories like a gender selection in Mexico, a story about returning to TV, a story about her basement flooding, and it all got to the paper.
Wow.
And there was one person that she didn't block, Jamie Vardy's wife.
Rebecca Vardy.
Wow.
So she went with an Instagram sting.
A sting. That's pretty, you're right, that's 2019.
That's amazing.
Brilliant, like, detective work. This is Sherlock Holmes level of detective work.
I thought she was going to have, like, a catfish story.
And good on her, because she probably knew it was her, so she only had to block. Like, she didn't have to do this 10 times and block 10 different people. She probably knew it was her and did it right away, and bang.
Well, and she's been setting her up for 5 months with fake stories. Uh-oh, the basement got flooded.
Wasn't that the guy?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, this isn't a catfish, though. This is
flat out.
That is so
patience, too.
Oh, yeah.
Because you do that, and you got to see this person. You're going to see, like, cross paths with them, and you got to put on the phony face.
5 months of detective work on Instagram where you
so
block people.
So embarrassing for the husband to deal with it, for the, like, to get caught doing that petty garbage.
Well.
So Rebecca Vardy's going to have to come out with a statement.
She has come out. They're going Instagram post for Instagram post here.
Wow.
And Vardy came out and said, it's not her. She said there's multiple, but this is where it's a very curious defense. She claims multiple people have access to her Instagram.
Bull crap.
And that she would never do that. And I wish you didn't go public with this. Why didn't you call me about this if you suspected it was me?
Right.
And then threw on at the end for some sympathy that she's very pregnant. I guess she's like 8 months pregnant. And she's like, I can't deal with this stress right now. But Rebecca Vardy is potentially in some big trouble here. Well, now, it's not illegal. Like,
no,
she's leaking this stuff to a paper. But
civil lawsuit? Or it's more just the embarrassing. Yeah, it's just the embarrassing.
Well, Jamie Vardy's still playing, right? Like, he's...
That's you got to have a hard conversation with your wife and be like, what the hell have you been doing?
Well, that's what... Remember, we're talking about it with Mike Hoffman, and Hoffman came out immediately and said, I support my fiance, and she said she didn't do this, and I believe her.
Yeah.
I got to believe Vardy's going to come out and probably say, and I had a conversation with her, she said it's not her, and it's not her. She was hacked. They're going to go the hacked route here. It's the only way out. Whether you did it or didn't do it.
Yeah.
Because this is an impeccable sting.
That is impeccable. Like, she's Inspector Clouseau.
Yeah. One person can see the stories knowing that they're going to get to the paper, and they get to the paper. That's brilliant detective work.
And she's probably setting the stories up, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah, she did. She said she made phony stories up.
That's
the basement
awesome.
Flooding.
Just to kind of drag her in.
I love it.
It was a trap.
Grappler, we got to get somebody on from Britain tomorrow to talk about this story.
Yeah, we should. We should. We got to get someone from London.
Like someone that's in the...
Just someone with an English accent. It can be Christian Jack.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter.
Get Christian Jack on to see what he thinks of this.
Right.
Because
who's his running mate, though? We got to get him on.
Oh, Stephen Caldwell.
We'll get Stephen
Scottish,
Caldwell.
Though.
Yeah.
Who
Stephen's
cares?
True.
He sounds better.
Yeah, we'll get Caldwell.
Well, they both sound fantastic.
They both
I was
sound
watching
phenomenal.
Them weekend.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
Yeah, they'd have a word for this that would be great. I don't know what it would be.
Some sort of a...
Like some sort of phrase where you just don't do this?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we'll get KJ or Caldwell on.
They won't have any clue. Find somebody in England who's up to date on gossip and...
We should get someone from the Sun.
Piers Morgan.
Yeah, get Piers.
Piers Morgan is going to weigh in on that for sure.
He'll have a take. He used to write for one of those rags over there forever. He's got a morning show over there.
Yeah.
Like, he's a pretty big deal over there.
He is quite a big deal. And who's the other guy who owns the singing stuff and that?
Simon Cowell.
Oh, Simon Cowell, yeah. Cowell, yeah.
Cowell,
yeah. He's a goon, though. I'm not a fan. Time now for our best bets brought to you by Proline. Over the number, Habs Buffalo. Carey Price not going tonight. They do Price at home the second night of a back-to-back.
Isn't that a cool idea?
Old Keithy Kincaid getting a start tonight.
Yeah, Keithy Kincaid.
I'm on Jersey paying 210 against Philly. Philly's coming back from Europe. I don't like that.
You don't like that?
No, I don't like that. And Vancouver gets their first win against L.A. tonight. Home opener. Throw down 20. You can score 107. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio and get way into the game with Proline. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. Proline, get way into the game. So tomorrow, our Gary Thorne debut. We're still working out the kinks in terms of what we're going to call that and how it's really actually going to work. We'll figure it out. Although you're not here tomorrow. Maybe we'll push
it to
Friday.
I'll be here Friday.
Maybe we'll push it to Friday. We should do
Friday.
Yeah, we'll push it to Friday.
We'll do a little trivia tomorrow with Jonas.
There you go. And Leafs Lightning tomorrow night. We'll tee that up as well. We're out of here. We're back tomorrow at
4 p.m.
We'll chat then.
Scarborough Nissan is one of the largest volume Nissan dealers in the GTA. And they'd like to thank their customers for the continued support during the construction on Eglinton. Come on in. They're open.
The Nissan Clearout Sales Event is on. Lease the new 2020 Nissan Rogue Special Edition from $327 a month for 60 months. That's like paying only $75 a week.
Scarborough Nissan. Driving satisfaction. Visit them on Eglinton Avenue East at Warden Ave. Visit ScarboroughNissan.com.
You've been listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3. Powered by Scarborough Nissan. Driving satisfaction. The Nissan Clearout Sales Event is on. Lease the new 2020 Nissan Rogue Special Edition from $327 a month for 60 months. Scarborough Nissan. Eglinton Avenue East at Warden.